to outline the personnel and the time that it will require. So if there's any spill that happened, then you will be able to mobilize your response personnel from wherever you are hiring the people from.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry Connell. That is Agnico's intent. As we develop and ramp up with our workforce, we are putting together emergency response teams. We'll be coordinating those with the community. And for our responsibility, when it comes into the tanks, we will be ramping up to be able to handle that. With respect to the on-water, that obviously falls out of our jurisdiction. It falls with NTCL or whoever the supplier is. But, you know, if we have capacity, we have materials, we're not sitting back. Spills are spills, and they need to be dealt with. Whoever's got the wherewithal and material and handling, you figure out how it gets dealt with afterwards. So in that situation, we would be there with whatever resources we had and helping out, and then we'd worry about whose responsibility it was afterwards.
Thank you. Can I ask the staff? Is there a question from the staff? Steve?
I just have one question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. It's on GN issue number 6 regarding the remediation guideline for hydrocarbon contaminated soil. And the GN recommends that the applicant follow the guideline or the GN's own guideline for contaminated site remediation. And in that guideline, there are 4 different standards for it. And I was just wondering if the GN can make a recommendation on which standard would apply to the project. Thank you.
GN.
Helen Ye with GNDOE. We would recommend the AEM to comply with the guideline related to industrial purposes. As we understand, the remediated soil will be used as a capping for the landfill. However, if this is not the case, if the remediated soil will be applied for remediation purposes, then we would recommend AEM to comply with our guideline for the parkland purposes.
Okay, before we continue on, there's public for the question. Go ahead.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman, Barb Mueller. I don't see as well as I used to. I don't have my glasses on. And sometimes it takes me a few minutes to kind of put things together in my head. But I guess I'm asking, further to my previous question and comment, was where does the GN's responsibility begin and end, and where does AEM's responsibility begin and end in relation to spills, leakages, that sort of thing? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, it's okay.
Thank you. GN?
Mr. Chair, Earl Badalu. In the case of jurisdictions, there are different areas. For instance, the GN has jurisdiction on commissioner's land, and we have a spill emergency response line that is notified upon spill, and this travels quickly through the territory. In the case of water, that's another jurisdictional responsibility. However, in the event of spills, particularly relating to this project, there is the opportunity for assistance from various different groups in regard to this. And the last question clearly outlined that procedure. So it is dealt a little bit different when this thing occurs, or when a spill or something like that occurs on the land or in the water. Thank you.
Thank you. Back to the staff. Is there any further question from the staff?
I don't have any more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any question or comments from the board? Bob Hassan, do you have any comments or question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bob Hansen here. I have no questions, sir.
Thank you.
Any questions from the board members?
Thank you, GN, for your intermission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
We will continue on with the staff administration. Don Carl, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Don Cart. There are no objections. I'd like to enter the following as exhibits. Exhibit 10, electronic. Environment Canada's intervention on the Meadowbank Gold Project, April 2008, submitted by Ann Wilson. Exhibit 11, hard copy. Environment Canada's intervention on the Meadowbank Gold Project, April 2008. Ann Wilson. Exhibit 12, electronic, DFO intervention comments to the Nunavut Water Board on the Meadowbank Gold Mine Project, April 2008, submitted by Amy Liu. Exhibit 13, hard copy, DFO intervention comments to the Nunavut Water Board on the Meadowbank Gold Mine Project, April 2008, submitted by Amy Liu. Exhibit 14, electronic GNDOE review of the Meadowbank Water License application presentation to NWB, April 2008, submitted by Helen Ye. Exhibit 15, hard copy GNDOE review of Meadowbank Water License application, presentation to NWB, April 2008, submitted by Helen Ye. That's everything so far.
Thank you. Is there any objection to the various exhibit?
No, John Donaghy for AEM, Mr. Chairman. No objection, but after you hear from the other parties, we have something to, an exhibit to tender as well.
Thank you. Is there any objection from any parties? Can I ask Aynak to start with?
Michael Nather with Aynak, no objections.
Can I ask Environment Canada?
Environment Canada has no objections.
Can I ask DFO?
Fisheries and Oceans have no objections.
Thank you. Can I ask NTI?
NTI, no objections.
Can I ask KIA?
Luis Manso, KIA, no objections.
Thank you. Catherine?
I think there might be just a little bit of confusion. There were two additional documents that weren't read out on that exhibit list that I believe AEM would like to have filed relative to their commitments to produce two items at their pre-hearing conference commitments. There was two items, number 31 and number 37, which are the Meadowbank Gold Project Type A Water License Schedule of Plan Revisions and Meadowbank Gold Project Type A Water License Commitment Summary. I believe those two items were to be added in, and I think they were circulated earlier today, so I think those would be the next two exhibit items.
Thank you. Applicant.
John Donaghy for AEM. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those were the documents that I was going to refer to, and as Board Council has indicated, they were circulated to the other parties, and We propose to tender them